The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held at Waits Lake Bible Camp near Valley, Washington, on October 19 and 20, 2023.
So good morning, and welcome to Diplomas, Gateway to Charity Service. I mean, let's get this right, to Christian service. Without love, knowledge is useless. With love, it's the power of God. What is this? Driver's license. Does this card make me a safe driver? No. Some people were very quick on that answer. Would you loan your vehicle to someone who has a driver's license? Yes. Would you ride with someone after first observing that they have a driver's license? Sort of. Would you ride with someone who you knew had repeatedly attempted to get one and couldn't? Well, that was okay. We're good. Now, this is a phlebotomy license. This states that I have taken training to draw blood from people's veins. Does this mean that I'm good at it? No. I worked with a number of people who had the exact same piece of paper and could not find a vein on the side of a horse. Should you allow someone with a license to insert a razor-sharp needle into your arm? Does this mean that this is a person who you should be okay with sticking a needle? Hopefully. However, would you allow someone who had never taken any training stick a needle into your arm? You wouldn't. Okay. I don't actually have the official copy, but this is a GD. Does this paper verify that I am an intelligent person? No, it doesn't. Does it qualify me to take an entry-level job in almost any place in our nation? Does this qualify me to take extra training, specialized training, to further use talents God has given me? That's what I think this is, personally. How, the important question is, how can I use this for God's kingdom? And if I don't plan to use it for God's kingdom, why do I have one? And I do want to spend most of the last part of this workshop session discussing. I will present for a little while and then stop for questions, basically. If you have a question as I'm talking, please write it down and feel free to ask it if I don't ask it. I don't necessarily think that all my questions are covering everything. Why does a person get a driver's license? He wants to drive. We would consider someone ludicrous if they went through all the stress of getting a driver's license and then never drove. We have a family in our community in whom the father is the only one who has a driver's license. That is absolutely unhandy. Just recently, that one of the children was sick and they needed someone else to take them to town. Two of the other family members are old enough to have one. It is tough. Why do medical staff get their licenses? Why do you think I got this license? To walk around and say, I have a phlebotomy license. To draw blood. That's right. If a doctor had a license but had never practiced medicine, at what point would you consider him unfit to practice medicine on you? What I'm saying is, just because someone has a diploma, if they have never exercised the use of that for any reason, at what point is it no longer meaningful? Why should we get diplomas? And I do want that question answered later. If it's just to prove that we are smart, we are feeding pride. And I think Brother Gene made it clear that that's not okay. If it's only to satisfy the government, we're going to foster rebellion. in our children, or a this is a necessary evil attitude among the parents, both of which are negative. If it is intended to validate our schools, in other words, this is what proves that our school is a good school, that's going to lead to misplaced priorities. That's a decent reason to get them, but it's not a good reason, honestly. If it is to prepare our students for lives of service in God's kingdom, that's eternal purpose. You're going to have a hard, you're going to have very few parents who will disagree about this being a valid thing to do if we're saying this is why we're doing it. And you will not have a hard time convincing the students that this is worth working for if you're saying this is because we want you to be a tool in God's kingdom like Hudson Taylor, like Adoniram Judson, or like Gladys Allward, or some other worthy person to look up to. Without love, knowledge is useless. But with love, it's the power of God. What does the Bible say about diplomas? 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, starting in the second half of the verse, says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Notice the words knowledge and love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, very familiar verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy, or teaching, as it can be interpreted, and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. Though I understand all knowledge and have not charity, I am nothing. The Apostle Paul, a highly educated New Testament writer, understood the importance of motivation in the pursuit of knowledge. Paul was not against knowledge, but rather putting forth a thesis that I hope to focus on this morning. This thesis is, and I firmly believe that I'm repeating the words of the Apostle Paul in my own words, if I can say that. Without love, knowledge is useless. But with love, it is the power of God. The Apostle Peter gave a similar instruction to husbands. He said, referring to staying with our wives, dwell with them according to knowledge. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. So in other words, love and knowledge, when they're working together, equal power. When we think of prayer, we think of the power of God. Without love, knowledge is useless. With love, it's the power of God. Why do we hesitate to pursue diplomas? As Anabaptist people, we tend to favor on-the-job training. What do we expect? Most Anabaptist people expect their sons to get out of school, go to work with dad, pay off this property. Or they expect them to get out of school and start working for someone else, learn a trade. We highly value skilled labor. And that's good. We value skill over knowledge. I almost hesitate to say that. I don't think that's true across the board. However, I hear conversations like this. Oh, well, there was this young man in Holmes County, quit school at fifth grade, started his own business, and by the time he was 21, he was a millionaire. And by the time he was 40, he was a multimillionaire. And when he died, the last words to his wife were, honey, what could we do to make another dollar? This was an Anabaptist man. Someone who came out of one of our schools. When we feel that the ability to earn an income is more valuable than the ability to be used in God's kingdom, there's a problem. And our education will reflect which one of those two we're aiming at. Whether our priority is to become part of the millionaires or whether it is to be a useful tool in God's kingdom. We fear the dangers of higher learning. Say this right. Examples like Eastern Mennonite College, we should have higher living as well, but Eastern Mennonite College, for example, one of the most liberal colleges in this country, an embarrassment to the name Mennonite. Goshen College in Indiana, I suppose you're somewhat familiar with that, Gene, or at least know some things about it, and just the downward spiral that that thing took. If you look at the news, we read about what's going on at our colleges today, the protests at Harvard where you have totally disconnected concepts being promoted. Places of higher learning have often been dangerous for Christians. Why? Is it not because they are seeking knowledge to puff themselves up? This was true in Paul's day in Athens. He went to Athens and spoke to those people. They wanted to hear what he had to say, and then they made fun of him. Isn't that danger at the root of our Anabaptist hesitancy to pursue higher learning? Is that why we favor practical knowledge, farming, craftsmanship, building mini barns, and so on? And yet, could we be puffed up in our practical knowledge and look down our noses on those idiotic college students who don't know which end of a hammer to grab and can't change a tire on their electric car? Could we be proud of the speed at which our brethren can become millionaires without a diploma? See, this thing of being proud of what we know isn't limited to people who go to college. Is the issue how much we learn about a subject or why we are learning? Is the issue whether we use what we know for the kingdom of God or whether we abuse it to pursue an affluent lifestyle? Are there bad reasons to get a diploma and bad reasons not to get a diploma? Are there good reasons to work for a diploma and good opportunities for graduates? Without love, knowledge is useless. With love, it's the power of God. What is a diploma? The power of a document is not in the person possessing it. The fact that I hold a driver's license does not, the power of this driver's license is not in the fact that I have it. It is in who gave it to me. All right? We recognize that in the Ten Commandments. The power of them is in the fact that God gave them. The power of the letter that Naaman brought to the king of Israel was in, not Naaman, but the man who had written it, the king of Syria. The power of the things written in the time of Daniel was not in the man who wrote them, but in the kings who had had them written. We accept the government's right to test drivers, businessmen, food handlers. Should we accept their bar for academic achievement? And in saying that, I do not believe that we should be okay with what the government is promoting. But on the other side of it, we're perfectly happy with doing the work to get one of these, to use it for a good purpose. Can't we also do the work to get a diploma, to use it for a good purpose? And that being said, not all diplomas are created equal. For example, I have this diploma, and I highly value this diploma. It is signed by my 8th grade teacher, whom much of my own teaching is patterned after. But I can't use this to get a job anywhere. All right. Accreditation is an important part of a diploma. It's one of the things that I strongly appreciate about CLE's diplomas. CLE has worked very hard to be accredited by people that the government agrees are, yes, You have the right to do that. Just like any state, aside from California, agrees that this is a driver's license, right? They didn't issue it, but they agree that the people who gave it to me had the power to do that, right? So accreditation is extremely important, particularly if you want to use the diploma to do kingdom work, because so much of our kingdom work involves other states, other countries, other backgrounds. So just a, quote, diploma, as board members, I would say that it behooves you to be sure that the diploma is a worthy diploma, that it's worth signing, it's worth getting. Diploma is like a key. You might be able to get through a door by smashing it down, but with a diploma, it would be a lot easier. With a key, it's a lot easier to get through that door. Diplomas open doors to many fields of service, both at home and abroad. For example, didn't you have to have one to go to Bangladesh, Aaron?
I did, but I slipped through on an apron.
Okay.
But now it's a little complicated.
Yeah. But there... Yeah. Yes. So some people, because of their resident intellect, they were allowed to go into Bangladesh. But for the rest of us, they want a piece of paper that someone else said that, yes, you do have that intellect, and so on. But there are quite a number of fields of service in which a diploma is the ticket in. I believe that that is a worthy reason, a worthy pursuit of a diploma. The diploma is like a check. Until it's properly made out and signed, it's not worth much. And unfortunately, like I mentioned, an eighth grade diploma in this country is like a blank check. There aren't a whole lot of people who are going to accept that. There may be some, and there may be some Anabaptist people who are good enough talkers to get themselves into other countries with an eighth grade diploma. The diploma should be considered as valuable as a driver's license, and yet not a measure of the value of the individual. I mentioned that family in our community in which the father is the only one with a driver's license. We do not devalue his wife and his oldest daughter, both of whom are old enough to have a driver's license, just because they don't have one. It is unhandy. But this is a danger of a church pursuing diplomas, that it then, if those who don't have them, should not be looked down on because they did not achieve that in their schooling. Our value of one another should be based upon the fact that we were created in God's image. That's where that needs to come from. That being said, for those we are schooling, I would say there's good reason to pursue a diploma. Did Bible characters use government-issued documents? Ezra and Nehemiah did, right? They used government-issued documents to achieve the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. When Paul used his Roman citizenship, if I am correct, and I should have talked with someone who was a little more versed in this than I am, but I believe that actually there was written documentation that if you stated you were a Roman citizen and couldn't back it up in writing, you were in big trouble. That was a very serious offense. Why is it valuable? We live in a changing world, yet historically the Christian school has been an institution that promoted critical thinking skills, as well as character and talent development. We, and the world around us, benefit tremendously from the work of Christian scientists like Isaac Newton. We sing songs written by well-educated authors and composers. We enjoy a translation of the Bible that occupied a number of highly educated men to perform. We benefit from those who have used knowledge with love. Without love, knowledge is useless. With love, it's the power of God. What are some reasons to get a diploma? Personally, I would say the number one reason is to improve a person's skill set. And that being said, just the pursuit of a diploma may not do that. However, it may open the door for the person to pursue further study after their formal schooling, whether it is into a specialized field, part of the medical field, or some other worthy thing. But it can improve the person's skills. Brother Gene already talked about written communication this morning. We communicate, but is it productive, tactful, godly? Getting to that point in studies can help that happen. Making this happen in a timely fashion is not easy. Students who do this typically learn some pretty decent time management, which is a discipline. It's worth learning. Problem solving. How many bridges would we have if nobody knew algebra? I'm blessed with the story of Pilgrim Marpeck. His knowledge basically kept a whole group of Anabaptist people alive because the people of the city there in Germany needed them, and they needed him to build an aqueduct. Nobody else knew how to do it. Exodus 31 verses 1 through 6 talk about the men who God had prepared to help build the tabernacle. And in those verses, it talks about the skills, men who were wise in woodworking, wise in working with fabrics and so on, and wise in working with metals, but it also says knowledge. As I read those verses again, I was impressed that God is interested not only in skill, but skill and knowledge together, and there's a lot of power there. Decision making. Someone who works up to the point of getting a diploma typically has a background that's broad enough to help them make informed decisions, I can say that, based on history and science. Proverbs 6, verse 23. Wonderful verse. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, and the reproofs of instruction," or we might say the pursuit of a diploma, "are the way of life." We have a lamp, a light, and life. Proverbs 6, verse 23. It seems like the proverb writer couldn't get over emphasizing the importance of study and of learning some important things, not just anything. It prepares students for further training. One of the things that I've observed in students who have pursued a diploma is they have learned how to learn. They are typically by that age, by that difficulty level, the teacher is starting to back away from these people. And the burden of learning is now on the student. If you want this diploma, you're going to have to work for it. And they learn how to learn. Why? So they can keep learning. The person who gets out of school and thinks they're done learning is going to be one ignorant person by the time they're 40. Some of these people may end up working in the medical field like I did for a time. We use them. And while I would hesitate to send someone to a long term, there are some low-level medical jobs that I think our people could be involved in and be a blessing in our communities. It prepares them for teaching so that dinosaurs like me can get replaced. It prepares them for language studies. One of the things that we tend to miss in an eighth grade education is developing writers. Doesn't mean that people can't write, but typically they are not as well developed as those who have pursued a diploma. Why do we want to produce writers in our schools? I believe that writing, written documents help our churches to be stable as well as to propagate the faith. We need people who are writing down what's happening now. Someone mentioned about a school handbook. When we come to that thing that, hey, we talked about this before, it's written down somewhere, and we know what where we came out on that subject. And people who are willing to write to help promote our faith. Financial management. Just recently, one of the large businesses in our congregation changed hands, and one of the young men involved in purchasing that business stopped in at school. He said, "Why are you teaching more record keeping? We don't have a clue. You need to be teaching these people how to keep track of their money. Don't they know how to do a balance sheet and all this?" It's kind of nice to hear a young man is excited about adding, subtracting, and multiplying and dividing. It broadens the student's understanding of the rest of the world. And in this, and in relating to kingdom work, it prepares them for world travel. A friend of mine joined the military and heard that he was going to Cuba. And not having performed very well in geography in school, he thought, "Wow, that sounds very cold. It was ice Cuba." And so he bought lots of thick blankets and thick clothes, and he had like this whole fur-lined coat and everything, and he flies to Cuba, and he gets off the plane with all these other people wearing their Hawaiian shirts and shorts, and he comes down wearing the whole Eskimo suit. He was very embarrassed. We might think that's funny, but another friend of mine who graduated from one of our schools, when I started talking about New Hampshire, he said, "Is that that out west somewhere?" It's not okay. I am not okay with that. Or someone talking about Tallahassee, and one of the students wondered, what country is that? We need people who understand, and who, when they hear about Iran, they could point to it on a map. That's important. Pursuing a diploma is a worthy example. Finishing a project, persevering to the end. For some students, maybe that is the end of their formal education. Maybe they don't learn anything else. And yet, there is something to sticking with something until it's done. And that piece of paper that does show an accomplishment. And I would say that this is the least important thing. Right? In my research, I found that people carrying a diploma live longer than people who don't have one. Why? I'm not sure. Maybe it's because they know where New Hampshire and Cuba are. Paul's reference to being a Jew versus a Gentile, he said, does it make me a better person? No. But he said, it gives me a lot of opportunities. He says, much in every way. I believe that that is one of the reasons to get a diploma. And in that, to love the opportunities. When we're talking about love versus knowledge, if we're doing it because we love the opportunities that we have, that's a good reason. Who did God use to write the vast majority of Scripture? Highly educated men. Moses and Paul, for example, were taught in all the ways that they possibly could be in the time that they lived. Love God's work. And I'm not saying that God cannot use uneducated people. Don't read me wrong. But does he use people who have struggled hard to learn more? Absolutely. And we should allow room for the growth of talents. Jesus promoted this strongly. Love the way God made you. And love the way God made your students. And if they have a talent for engineering, why don't we have more Anabaptist engineers? We've got plenty who are smart enough. It may open the door to further evangelism. Love the lost. This, I would say, is the most important reason, I believe, for pursuing a diploma, is for the opportunities to reach out to other countries. Once again, without love, knowledge is useless. But with love, it's the power of God. All right, discussion time. I'm going to give you all a chance to ask questions first, and then I will ask questions soon. Does anyone have a question? If you do, if you don't mind, raise your hand. That way I know where to look. Yes.
So in the CLE curriculum, there is a couple different levels of diploma that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I would like a little discussion on that, you know, what all is needed. Say my son has a desire to become a mechanic, and I want to see him pursue that.
Mm-hmm. Right, so basically the question about different levels of diplomas, this is kind of circling back to that accreditation thing as far as, for example, my driver's license is a commercial driver's license, and that does allow me to do some things that other people don't get to do, and the same way would go for diplomas. So if I'm understanding the specific question, you have a son who is interested in mechanic work, he's already doing some electives aimed at that, and what level of diploma then should he pursue? Is that, am I reading the question right? Very good. All right. I'm only here to lead the discussion. Yes, Derek.
I've always looked at it as we should look at the ability of the child.
Yes, so thank you for that.
If you have a struggling student, you know, the vocational diploma would be to allow them to be able to set a goal and be able to reach it.
Yes.
And if you have one that really does well at school, don't just let him settle for the medium one, you know, have him shoot for the high one. If he has the time and he has the capacity to do it. That's my reasoning for the different levels.
Yes, thank you for that. So looking at the student's ability level, and I like that thought of if the student is doing well, don't let them settle for less. I believe that is consistent with a development of talent that Jesus taught very clearly. Any other thoughts on that question? If not, is there another question before I start asking questions? Yes.
You said the CLE diplomas work well in the States. From what I understand, in Canada, maybe someone can correct me, but I think we're a little behind there. We pretty much have to do a GED test afterwards.
Okay.
But the CLE does work well in the States.
My understanding is that it has.
I don't think everybody heard your question.
Yes.
Can you restate?
Thank you, Paul.
My question was, is the CLE diploma working for you in the States? Up in Canada, I don't think it is working for us yet.
All right. Aaron, you're a CLE rep. You have some words of wisdom for us here.
Well, I guess the question is, working well, what is that? What does that mean? Is it? If you're thinking of going from high school education to a university, you're generally going to have to do an entrance exam anyway.
Yes.
And so far, I'm not sure about the Canadian universities, how they have accepted the CLE diploma as a general diploma, general education diploma. But in America, they do fairly well. And if you can point, as a Canadian or as a person from another country, if you can point to a list of the universities who have accepted it and said, this looks good with us, take your entrance exams and go from there, often it's just a choice that the university makes. Will I take it or will I leave it?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if that maybe doesn't answer your question. Is the question more, are you legal doing your school with as a private school, is that maybe the question? Because I mean, there are some countries there's a discussion right now in Romania where if CLE is accredited, but not at a very high government level.
Okay.
It's accredited by the National Association of Private Schools, and that's and so technically it's unaccredited. It's not at a government level accredited in other countries, and I don't know. The legal ramifications of that are kind of nebulous because who gives accreditation?
Yes.
Yale University is not accredited because they say accreditation comes from a greater to a lesser, and there isn't a greater. Anyway, this is rambling.
Yeah. Was your question more about satisfying the government, or was it to pursuing various vocational things?
If I understand it right, the government doesn't the Canadian government doesn't recognize the CLE diploma.
Okay.
Where a college, university might, and like was said, you can do an entrance exam anyways, a lot of places without the diploma even. And so yeah, I think the Canadian government doesn't recognize it at this point. That's kind of where it's at.
Yeah. Thank you for that. So you kind of jumped ahead of me into one of my questions, and I would like to just go ahead and ask the question now, and possibly it'll be a little more open question. How should we relate to the legal requirements and proof of achievement? And this question comes not just from a concern for myself, but, and I want to say this without any, I'm not an anti-Semitic person. I very much appreciate the Jewish communities in our country, but the Hasidic schools in New York City, if I'm correct, they have about 50,000 students, and they receive government funding to do this. They are extremely strict, probably far stricter than our schools are, in fact, in what the students are allowed to do at school, what they can bring, what's allowed in the home, and so on. And their focus is more on religious teaching versus educational teaching. In fact, these students are taught in Yiddish. Very few of them master English, even to maybe a second or third grade level. Few of them get enough math to do anything beyond simple adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing. And when they graduate, they are unfit to pursue occupations outside of their community. This has drawn a lot of attention, largely because of the fact that these schools in the recent past have received over $1 billion in funding from New York. So when you got people spending that much money and turning out folks who cannot either read nor figure, there's something to be concerned about there. On the other side of that, in our school situations, we like to look at that Wisconsin versus Yoder Supreme Court decision, and I am glad for that decision. I'm going to tell you that's not ironclad. We could yet be called into question. It is quite obvious that our country is questioning almost everything that we thought was normal. And if we think that our schools are not going to be questioned sooner or later, I'm afraid that's being naive. So, that being said, I'm not going to share any more of my own opinions here. How should we relate to legal requirements and proof that our schools are actually achieving what we're telling the government we are? Go ahead.
I don't know if this carries any weight at all, but if we're doing the achievement tests that Troyer is involved with, and we stack up well with that, I wonder if that won't carry a lot of weight, because if we look at those things, we're way outperforming public schools.
Yes.
And I mean, as a Anabaptist people, we are.
Yes. Brother Paul, are you familiar, haven't those actually been used in litigation in Oregon, I believe?
Yeah, I heard that, and I don't know anything about that.
I don't know the specific case. Are you familiar with that, Vernon? Or
yeah, Vernon might
Okay. Wasn't it with your school in years past?
Yeah, I've heard some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an excellent example of a government-issued test. It's pretty hard for them to argue with themselves if we're performing well on their test and so on. And that's where the accreditation in these things is very important. So thank you for that. Any other thoughts?
It's not that hard. I mean, the GED, if you're teaching your students what they should know, even up to 10th grade, mm-hmm. it's not that hard for them to get past the GED anyway.
Yes.
And that's kind of where we've been going with our family anyway. And it's worked. It's worked for us. And that's why I just kind of encourage that, because if you pass that, at least they know you've been schooling well, and they can't really argue against.
Yes.
That's preference for me anyway.
Yeah. Well, and there again, that's a very well-recognized, well-accredited test that, in my mind, will open all the doors necessary for kingdom work. And I want to stress that needs to be our focus over satisfying the government. If we're just trying to satisfy the government, we will get off the rails because they're not headed to a good place.
is that an option in Canada? Or is that...
So that is, am I correct? So that is basically what you are doing,
yeah.
Is pursuing a GED.
Yeah, if you need to satisfy the government in any way, you do
take
a GED.
Yes.
Actually, in our province, in British Columbia, they pulled the GED away. It's not been available for several years now.
Okay.
And if you want to get a diploma now, after school, of course, you will need to go take a test at the local high school. Mm-hmm. And it's submitted, and then you have to meet their criteria from that test, almost like an entry test.
Gotcha.
And then you have to top up whatever they say is deficient in your training.
Mm-hmm. So there again, it's still a situation where accreditation, they're claiming higher accreditation than GED, basically, but
just a lot more complicated than what it used to be with simply going and writing a GED.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that. I would like to spend more time on that, but for sake of time, I would like to answer a few more questions. A nice one to follow on the heels of that one: should every student be required to get a diploma? Aaron's shaking his head back there, Paul. Don't let him shake his head. We can't hear his brain rattle.
Well, somebody mentioned something about different levels of skills of students, and I think that's a reality.
Yes.
Especially it more and more of a reality. Mm-hmm. I'd say if you can, it's good. If you have that option in your community, I think that's good. But to require someone who has a fourth or fifth grade reading capability to try to get a diploma is just cruelty,
yes.
I think.
So recognizing the various levels of student abilities should play into that. And I think that's an important thing for boards to recognize, and for churches where most of the people are getting their diploma, to recognize and to keep it straight that is not the value of the person. It does not. That's not what their value is based on. Any other thoughts? Bing's got one here, Paul.
I would agree with that very much.
Sure. I would agree with that. But I think it's good to understand that in most of our schools, that child, a high percentage would be 20%. So 80%, if we use the same reasoning, 80% of our children should be getting diplomas. If that's the case. One reason I think that, I think it's really easy for us just to be lazy, frankly, just lazy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really like school that much, so let's not push him. And I have seen so many people that decide at age 22 or 23 that they want to pursue something that, well, they need their GED or their diploma. And it's just a lot more work to go back and get it.
Mm-hmm.
then. So, yeah, I honestly think 80% of our students should be getting either a GED or a diploma of some kind.
Yes.
But I definitely do agree. There is no point in forcing somebody who just can't do it there's no point in that.
Yes. Thank you for that.
I think there's a reality we face is also is family culture.
Yes.
You'll have a dad who absolutely doesn't think it's necessary or want to in the school. And maybe the school's using their biggest tractor just to pull that lad through 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then think ahead on how you're going to manage that little conflict there, because it's definitely a reality in our Anabaptist world.
Yes. So thank you for jumping ahead to my next question. How can we relate to varying opinions regarding diplomas productively? And we heard Gene talk about some productive, hard conversations. And just to help this get off, I grew up in a non-Mennonite culture in which I was repeatedly told that you can never get enough education. You will never be overeducated. Versus the statement, we know a man who had a fifth grade education and became a millionaire. Besides, the disciples were unlearned and ignorant men. And by the way, that's a misinterpretation of that statement in Scripture, but we hear those statements. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with you. I would like to hear, how do you relate to that? Those are hard conversations.
I guess how inspiring are you as a school or as a teacher to get these lads or these children motivated?
Now, wait a minute. This is a school board topic here. I know I'm a teacher, but... I'm asking, how's a board going to work on that? I hate to throw the hot potato back in your seat, but that's the question I would like to have answered.
I think that was a great answer. Like, how inspiring are you going to be as a board, like, to create that culture,
okay,
I guess.
So the board needs to be inspired.
Well, your school culture, I guess.
Your school culture.
Yeah.
So the board's going to have to be inspired and get an inspired teacher or keep an inspired teacher, something to that effect. Jonathan, go ahead.
I don't think there's much point in a school board trying to push a student to get a diploma if the parents are not on board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any point.
Yeah.
But if your school culture grows to the point where the parents see the value of it, then I think that is valuable at that point. But, yeah, that would be...
So, if I'm reading what you both said, this should become an issue of developing school culture over maybe addressing individual bumps along the way. Is that Aaron's back here waving his arm emphatically?
There's a dangerous ditch that you can fall into is developing this scenario in your community where you have the school people who like, you know, diplomas and feel like, you know, 12th grade is good, and then you have the non-school people and who feel like maybe 8th grade is a little too much, and a little what Matt was referring to, and that can become a pretty significant gap in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a time for compromise on both sides and working together and remembering that you're building the kingdom. And if you're going to let this become a deep ditch between you, the kingdom loses.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way to bridge these gaps and say, hey, you know what? Maybe not for you, but how can we together work on, but have discussions and don't build and don't dumb or put one side down in a way, because you need both people, need both kinds in your church.
That very statement, we need both kinds. We live in a world that is trying to drive away from appreciating differences. And God's people should not learn from our political or local scene from that, but rather an appreciation for each other and a working together, even if families have these opposing tendencies. And they will. That's going to happen. Two more questions I would very much like to cover briefly. Can the pursuit of a diploma be a part of adding to our God-given talents as Jesus taught? I basically stated that as fact. I would like to hear some either supporting or dissenting thoughts. The question is, can the pursuit of a diploma be a part of adding to our God-given talents?
I think TJ has a comment on that.
Thank you, TJ.
Well, just what you told me.
What was the question? I didn't catch the question.
Oh, the question was, can the pursuit of a diploma be a way to develop a God-given talent?
Well, I used to not be a real big promoter of pursuing diplomas, but having been being involved in the mission work,
yes,
we have a lot of young people that have real talents for going on the mission field, reaching out, cross-cultural, but so many of them don't have a diploma. And we're facing that more and more as a board, as just a small group of people that actually can go to these places. And so I've changed my thoughts quite a bit. I'm more and more promoting a diploma, and I think we're going to get more and more that way as time goes along. We just need more people to be able to go. There's a lot of young people that want to go,
yes,
and are very limited because of the requirements that it takes, particularly in this thing of diploma.
Yes. Thank you for that. That's the burden of my heart. If we can pursue this for kingdom work, we've got a purpose. And we're not going, and even those dissenting views in the church are going to be able to get behind, even if they don't want their children to get it. They can get behind the ones who are after it if it's for kingdom work. Versus to prove that one person is more intellectual than the other. So it's time here to close. In closing, a diploma is a valuable asset to Christian church, to our Christian churches. When it is pursued out of a desire to serve the kingdom of God, it can open many effectual doors. It may satisfy government requirements. It may expand and develop personal talents. It may enhance the work of God in our day and in years to come. Without love, knowledge is useless. With love, it's the power of God. Thank you for your attention.